grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that I'm not a distraction here, but that, Father, we're looking over the nature and the duties of a Christian this morning, and Lord, I not take away from that. Help me, Father, and I pray that you help us all to be good servants of you, Lord, to be strong Christians. We need your help in that endeavor, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We all saw in the news the great pushback that many government employees were having as they were asked to list five things they did last week. And I saw that and I laughed my head off. I almost kind of wanted to text Dwayne and ask him, how long does it take you in a day to do five things? I know a lot of people who by the time 9 o'clock rolls around, they've already done more than five things. As a matter of fact, I used to do five things before I got into work. I would have already checked in with my maintenance guys, my manager. I would have checked my voicemail, my email. As I was going, man, I was doing stuff. And the idea that you would be upset that you would have to answer what five things did you do last week, that you'd be upset, that just gave me a tickle. What five things? And of course, because I'm a pastor and I do what I do, I tried to spiritualize it. A lot of the pushback was, well, what right does this guy have to ask me what five things I did? They questioned his authority. And whether you agree he has that authority or not, not the topic of this morning's sermon. My question is this: there is one who has the authority to ask you what you've done. And he wants a whole lot more than five things. And we need to understand that our relationship with God is not a matter of doing God a favor. God is not that one cousin at Thanksgiving who comes up to you and says, "Will you please read my book?" You read the Word of God because it's good for you. Because you desire to be close to Him. Because you know that within that book are the words of life, and it's the stuff that'll get your life better. It's the stuff that'll get you out of trouble. And oh, don't forget the sweet friendship and fellowship you have with God when you read the book. We don't do God favors when we give the gospel, when we pray. We don't do God a solid when we do basic Christian things. It's all a form of worship, service, and gratitude. And yet many of us, we still struggle with spiritual fitness. Right? Our spiritual fitness has gone the way of our physical fitness. Oh, that we would sit there and challenge ourselves. As one would be challenged today working for the federal government, just what do you do? What do you do? Now, we're not talking about what titles do you have in the church, how much money you give, although that's important too. Are you serving them? Are you seeking opportunities in the church to serve them? That's all important. But it is not a matter of what can you flex, what can you be proud of, but it is an answer of what are you really doing for God? What closeness is there? What are you doing with yourself? Could you imagine doing this physically? You stood before your doctor says, list five things you did for your health. I slept every night, seven nights, or seven. I drank water a few of those days. I got out and walked once. I mean, if we were to really sit, we think, you know, of all the things we do, are we doing things that matter? Are we doing things that benefit us in one way or the other? If we've abandoned ourselves physically, oh my, we have most likely abandoned ourselves spiritually. And if we've abandoned ourselves spiritually, what are we? Are we not the children of God? Should we not be strong in that endeavor? So I gave you these notes. Five things I should have done last week. Number one, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, For in them ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And that's what they did. They searched the scriptures. Well, brother, how is it in the Gospel of John, can we search the scriptures if the scriptures aren't done yet? He was telling them to look at what they did have, and that was the Old Testament. He told them, dig around in that Old Testament, and you'll find a whole lot said about me. You'll find a whole lot said about redemption and salvation. You'll find a whole lot said about what you need for eternal life. Search the scriptures. Now, you know what you have? You have the full thing. You have the full thing. Genesis to Revelation sitting in your lap. You could get it big print. You can get it small print. You could get it any way you like. I get advertisements and emails for Bibles all the time. You can have a spiral bound Bible. You can have a Bible with some wide margins. You can take notes. You can buy a Bible somebody already put notes in. All different kinds. They sell them for $1. They sell them for $1,000. We have the whole Word of God. And many of us have more than one copy. I mean, if you need a Bible, man, you've come to the right place. And we've had that happen every now and then. Oh, I forgot my Bible. You came to the right place to forget your Bible. We got them. We got them! You've got them in your homes. You probably got them in your car. You probably got them on your cell phone. The problem is this. Are you reading it? There's some guys out there. I laugh. I can't help but laugh. They collect premium Bibles. You know what a premium Bible is? Those are those $200 to $500 Bibles. And they'll sit there and they'll say, well, I've got 19 from this publisher, and I've got 7 of this collection. I got this one in this color. And they spend thousands of dollars on Bibles. And I sit there and I wonder, when are you going to have time to read over 100 Bibles? Are you going to read each and every last one of them? What are you doing? If you're going to buy a Bible and give it to somebody. Now, of course, it's a little pot calling the kettle black. You go down to my office, you see, I've got a small problem myself. Give them. But if you've got them, you better be reading them. You better be reading them. What stops us? What prevents us? Oh, well, I've got this, I've got that, I got the other, you know, things like that. We every now and then I'll take over and I hate to say that I do homeschool, because my version of doing homeschool is Danielle sets everything up and I just make sure it gets done. So whatever you call that, that's what I do sometimes. And I'll try doing my work while the kids are doing their work, and every now and then you get that, look at the color of this Lego. I'm gonna take this one and I'm gonna put it on that one. And you know what I have to do sometimes to get my reading done, get my stuff done? Shoo. And the boys will tell you what I do if you don't listen to shoo. You get a job. That's how it was in my house. How many of you, when you were growing up, you got kicked out at sunup and weren't allowed to come back in until dinner time? My mom didn't go that far. My mom did this. If she said to leave her alone, and we didn't leave her alone, we got a chore. And that gave me a powerful education. Stay out of the way or get in the way. You know what I mean? If you're going to be in my way, you're going to be doing it my way. And sometimes we got to draw a hard line. Say, I don't exist to you during this time. Unless you're bleeding or someone's dying, I don't exist to you during this time. Many of you, you're on the other side. You're retired. Your kids are having kids, and they're having kids, and you're retired. You know what I say to you, and I don't say it very nicely, and I'm trying to find a nice way to say things, but ask my wife. I've always struggled to find nice ways to say things. You have no excuse. Well, you don't understand. I'm not retired. I've got a busy this, and I've got a busy that, and a lot of things going on, and even though I don't have a job, I got a lot of things to do. Why would you do all those things having not conversed with God? To me, I would rather skip my morning coffee. I'd rather skip a night's sleep. Because that, to me, is how it feels. It feels like I'm unprepared for the day. I've left for work without my phone, without my laptop, without my notes from the day before. I am out there wild and free, and it's never been good. Take your time to read. Well, brother, I don't know what spiritual gift I'm supposed to get from reading this list of names. Keep reading them. It'll come to you. I've done that. I've entered the point of Bible reading now where I am beginning to see things in those lists of genealogies. Well, wait a minute. That name goes over here with this story. I recognize that name now because I've read this a few times. I recognize that name. That's this person. So that means in the chronological time of things, this guy who did this over here, then begat this guy that formed this over here, and they bleed together, and you start to get a better picture of history. There's a reason why that stuff is there. Recently reading through, I guess it's not recently anymore, but reading through the law, the books of the law. Don't do this, do this. So often you sit there and your eyes start to cross. And you go, all right, don't eat that, don't touch this, don't be here, wash this many times. And you start to wonder why. Start looking up some of those things. Look up some of the things that he didn't want the children of Israel to do. And why he didn't want them to do them. And why he took the precautions there. Look it up. It's really interesting. Just about everything he told his people not to do, it is a very interesting scientific or social economic study. Get into the book. I have no desire for the book. That's because you're not in it enough to know what's there. The more you read, the more of it you want. And when we ignore God through not reading the Bible, we develop a bit of a callousness towards it. We don't really feel it. We don't really care much for it. But the more you get into it, the more you'll want it again. It's not like a passing fad or a fancy. Once you're in it, you'll want to read more. You'll begin to put things together. And I'll tell you this, if you have yourself a really hard time following along or understanding, let me encourage you to do this. Repent of your sin before you read the Bible. Before you open that book, pray. And you're going to pray a handful of things. You're going to ask the Lord to give you understanding. You're going to ask the Lord to speak to you. You're going to ask the Lord to reveal and forgive any sin in your life. You're going to ask the Lord to walk with you and be a teacher with you as you read. And finally, you're going to ask the Lord to help you remember and apply the things you read. That needs to take place every time you lift that book up. Five things I should have done last week, and that's read my Bible. Next thing we see on our list, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says very simply, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We need to talk to God regularly. Talk to God regularly. Wouldn't that make me a little bit crazy? I don't know. I feel crazier without Him. Man, no matter what it is we do, no matter where it is we go, you need to bathe it in prayer. And we need to be grateful when other people are talking to God about us. I don't really like it when people talk about me. But I love it when people talk to God about me. I need it. I absolutely need it. And you know what? You need it too. We need to be praying for each other, talking to God about each other, and talking to God about our problems, our cares, our concerns, our frustrations. As I sit there and I try to teach in my house, hey guys, this is what we do when we're upset. And part of what I tell them to do is you got to talk to God. Well, what do I tell them? Just tell them you're angry. Tell them why you're angry. Well, he already knows. Of course he knows. But there's no better friend on earth than your heavenly Father. Tell him. and watch peace flood your heart. Tell him about your problems. Tell him about the things where you don't see how they could ever be fixed. Tell him about the things you think are impossible. And watch the Comforter calm you and steel you and give you courage. We need to be talking to God. And folks, when we sit there and it's a thing on our to-do list, well, I got to pray. Have you prayed? I'm praying for you. Let's pray. All right, we're going to pray. We have a song and then we pray. When it's like that, when it's just a blasé Christianese word, I get it. It is a to-do list item, and most brains nowadays struggle with to-do list items. The quickest way to get me to not want to do something is to tell me I got to do it. But I want to talk to God. I got no beef with the word pray. The Lord uses the word pray. The Bible uses the word pray to describe conversating with God. It's understood. My thing is that we use it so often we forget its value, we forget its meaning. Prayer has power. No, the God I'm talking to has power. As who has the power? My God does, and I want to talk to Him. Because of all the people that could ever solve or answer a problem I've got, He's the one. It's Him. Now me, I mean, how many times have we seen it? You go to doctor after doctor, you talk to friend after friend, you do math after math, you do whatever you got to do to try to figure something out. And it's always to no avail. How many times have you been there? No matter what you did, you couldn't work it out. God can. Why do we go to Him last? Man, there's a t-shirt I see every now and then. Drives me nuts. Little pictures and posters and coffee mugs. When all else fails, try God. Or when you've tried everything else, try God. When you've lost your car keys and you've looked everywhere, check the key hook. If the gas pedal won't work and you've pushed every button in the car you can, try turning it on. That's how silly that sounds to me. Why not start at the source of all things? Even when I'm looking for something, I'll talk to the Lord while I'm looking for something. And sometimes I think that's why I lost something to begin with. Because I'll try to get through the day without praying. I'll lose my car keys. I'll lose something like that. And I'm looking all over the place and I'm talking to the Lord. Because otherwise I start to get angry. Go to the Lord. I don't know where it is. He does. He's looking right at it. We cannot delay speaking to the Lord. And we cannot speak to the Lord just as we would speak to a doctor or a police officer. God is not just there for your emergencies. He's your heavenly Father. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Wish Him good morning. Wish Him good night. Tell Him how grateful you are. Tell Him about the things that you need and the things that others need. If you were to sit there and go through your conversations with God like a call log, how many of them would there be? As the church has asked me to start turning in my miles, and they asked a long time ago, but now I'm getting in trouble for it. I go back through, and did you know Google monitors everywhere you go? So I look it up on Google. Where did I go in the last month? It tells you everywhere you go with a shockingly scary accuracy. That's good for me because it tells me the miles within those drives that I can use. That's handy for me, but you also kind of see the danger. Sit there, I'll pull it up. Where did I go? If that app also recorded every time you went to the throne of God, how frustrated would you be? How much shame would you feel? If we could use it to categorize the relationship you have with God. Right? Isn't that what we do? If I sat there and I grabbed your phone right now I could easily sit there and see the name you call the most and say, well, that is probably a close friend or relative. And if I see somebody you scarcely call at all, I would say, well, that is somebody who's estranged to them. So on a scale from one to your second cousin Bertha, where does God fall in your contacts? It's a good question. One that should challenge each and every last one of us. If I was judged, my relationship with God was judged on my conversations last week with Him, what conclusion would God come to as to how much I love Him? Oh, He knows my heart. Folks, bad manners never hide a good heart. If there's a problem in the behavior, there's a problem in the heart. And the only thing that we can do with that is fix the heart. See, I've heard people say that before, and people go, oh, then I have a bad heart, that's who I am. Folks, this is not a 90s hero movie where you, if you're bad, you're bad, and if you're good, you're good. If there's issues with your heart, you can fix it. You're not stuck that way. It doesn't define you. You're not static in that position. You are fluid. You can drop the sin. You can pick up good behavior. You're not stuck. So if we sit there and we say, my relationship in my Bible reading and my relationship in my prayer life is not what it should be, don't cry. Just read your Bible and pray. You see how easy it is? You don't have to define yourself. You don't have to look yourself in the mirror and say, oh, wretched man that I am, as Paul did. You just have to knock it off or start it up. Oh, how easy. Now, if we stay where we are, well, shame on us. And life's going to get harder. But for those of us with a heart and a mind to repent, go for it. Number three, we see, go to church. Go to church. Now, go to church, a lot of times, I think that's another word that we have, or another phrase that we've used far in the wrong way. Go to church. When we say go to church, we don't mean the building, right? I am in this building all the time, and it ain't the same as when y'all are in it. Let's just say it like that. We were talking on Friday. Being in here by yourself is a completely different experience. Man, this building talks. You hear, I'll walk down those stairs. And you know how after you push some boards down, they'll come loose, and that's what creates the creaking sound. And definitely not ghosts. Absolutely not ghosts. Ain't no ghosts but the Holy Ghost. That ghosts. But something that kind of sounds that way if you didn't sleep well last night, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden I'll hear, I'll sit there for 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, and later just. And I turn the cameras on. Ain't no ghosts but the Holy Ghost. Ain't no ghosts but the Holy Ghost. Get back to work. It is a different place. We're not talking about coming to the building. We're talking about assembling ourselves together with God's people. Man, there ain't nothing like it. I can do it at home. Yeah, you know what? I could probably water ski in my bathtub, but it just ain't the same. It ain't the same. What are you doing? Well, you know, you don't need to go out and have organized religion. Well, there you go. Have disorganized religion. That's always worked out well for me. Disorganized workspaces, disorganized sheds, disorganized anything, disorganized kitchens. That's way better than an organized one. That's what I've always felt. Where you don't know where anything is, and you're just finding stuff along the way blindly. I think there's importance to organization. You don't organize your toolbox, you cut yourself on stuff. Can't find things when you need them. You don't organize your kitchen, you cut yourself on stuff and can't find the things you need. You don't organize your car. Now, you ever see a car wreck where somebody had too much in the car? It is like the world's worst pinata all over the freeway. And you know that they probably would have fared a whole lot better and been a whole lot safer without all those missiles coming back at them from the back seat. You know, it would have been a lot better without it. Now, we need organization. And it's good to have people to love you. It's good to have people that ask you how they're doing, ask you how you're doing, and they actually care. And they come up later and they say, well, I've been praying for you. Got to see some friends this weekend. How's your dad doing? That's good. Hey, did they ever figure that out? Yeah. It's good to have godly friends, people who care. It's good to come together and sing praises to the Lord together. Even if you can't remember exactly how the song goes. I have an excuse. I don't have any songbooks up here. It's good to be edified, to be nurtured, to be fed, to fellowship. It's good. It's not just obedience. It's good for us to be a part of something. Now listen, if we bring sinful elements into the church, absolutely. It's diabolical. It is a toxic environment if you bring sin into it. So if you're going to go, don't bring trouble. Get your sin together before you walk through that door. Get it together. If you got a bad temperament, don't talk. Ooh, that's not the nice way to say it, but it's the truth. But I've met some people, they don't have a nice word to share or say to anybody. Well, just everything irritates me. You need to get right with the Lord. Just you sit over there. We've all been there. I bet you've been there too, where you wake up, you're having a day. The way I put it is this. I'm not right for human consumption. I'm not good for the public right now. And what do? I do the two most important, well, at least I try to, the two most important words in any relationship, and that's shut up. If you're ready to burn the world down, that is a perfect moment for you to close your mouth. Because it is a whole lot easier to keep your tongue bridled when it wants to sin than it is to repair the damage it's done. Yeah, we make sure that we're living godly when we come into the church, but go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we can't abuse this verse either. This does not mean that if you're sick and you stay home. That does not mean if you have a full-time job or you're busy and you're out working and you miss a fellowship or a Bible study, that means you've forsaken it. No, what was literally going on where people were stopped, they were no longer getting together. And we've seen that here from 2020, haven't we? Churches just not getting together. Well, we're still a church. We meet online. No, you don't. I was talking to the Genesee police officer. I was talking to him, and we were talking about different churches and things that took place in COVID. And I remembered, we did that whole online thing during COVID there at Flat Rock. There was a time after a Sunday morning service where nobody signed off, and we all turned our cameras on. And we got to see each other for the first time, and I think it was almost 2 months. And I remember sitting there crying like a small boy. Because I miss those people. Ain't nothing like it. We ought to be in a place together. We ought to be able to do so regularly. Man, we gotta take a vacation every now and then. You gotta work your job. But to sit there and abandon all attendance to the house of God is one of the worst things for you. It's not just about you. By the way, reading your Bible, praying, it's not just about you. It's about showing a love and appreciation for God. And look at this, on a Sunday morning, here we are together. Isn't that beautiful? See everybody on a Sunday morning. Man, we got some schedule things, we've got some health things that'll maybe keep you out on a certain day. That's no big deal. I get that. If God meant for you to have the physical strength to do it, He'd give it to you. But listen. There should not be a week goes by where we're not there at least once if we're physically able. There should not be months that go by. I've known some people that did that with no health concerns or issues at all. Nothing big going on. Just nothing at all. Well, I didn't go this Sunday, and I'm not going to go next Sunday, and I'm not going to go there. Folks, we have somebody who's not even a member. It's got a full work schedule, still tries to make it on a Friday morning coffee devotion. You can't come to something? And they let months go by, And all of a sudden they get that letter in the mail. Well, what's the church mean that I'm under discipline? And by the way, that's not us just being mean for the sake of being mean. What right do you have voting with us, making decisions with us if you ain't joining us? We can't do that. We got to stay spiritually fit to make decisions with God's business. And if you're gone in the wind, you don't get the right to make the decisions with us. Now you want to come back, we'll rip that sheet of paper. We glad to line some bird cages with it. Now, I've had people before, you know, I want to rejoin the church. Come on in. Come on in. Well, I've been gone for a really long time. I talked to somebody this weekend. I've been gone for a really long time. I don't know what to do. Here's an idea. Go back. What will they say? Well, if they're good folks, godly folks, wonderful folks, they'll say glory, hallelujah, and they'll be more than glad to have you. What if they're mean? Well, that's another thing you got to consider. Maybe you're not the only one who's off. Mercy, we need each other. Why would we not want to come to the Father's house? And I get it. Sometimes the preacher is bored. Sometimes the preacher is boring. Sometimes the preacher goes off on a tangent. Sometimes the sermons ain't that deep. But why would we not want to be in the house of the Lord just for the sake of the Lord? I might be the worst preacher ever, but my friends, please come to sing praises to God. Does he not deserve it? Colossians 3:5. Another thing we should have done last week is keep ourselves in check. Keep ourselves in check. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, if you get a chance, take this home. I want you to read all of Colossians 3. This is one of those verses you really don't want to take out of context. But for the sake of this, I want to focus just on that first part of the verse because it sums up the whole deal. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You know what mortify means? You got to tell yourself no. You ever tell somebody no who's not used to hearing the word no? Imagine the look on that person's face. I mean, you'll see that with a kid every now and then who hears yes all the time. And you tell them no. We used to have people that we would work with, residents in the community. You could tell that everybody in their life had always told them yes. You tell them no once. Every now and then you got to do something to your flesh to make it remember that it's not in charge. Well, I'd rather sleep in than read my Bible. You drag that stinking carcass out of that bed and you sit down before the book. Well, you know, I had a late night last night, movie marathon, hung out with some friends. The house is a mess. I need a shower. I think I'm just going to skip church today. I'm going to have a mental health day. No mental health day is complete without spiritual encouragement. Get in there. Remember back when people started to talk about that? We need a mental health day. Happy Sunday. It is a mental and spiritual health day, and you're doing the best thing for it. What a blessing you're being to your mentality and to your spirit by coming into the Lord's house. Get in here. You can scrub the floor later. We need to mortify the flesh. Well, I need this food, I need this substance, I need this, I need that, and I don't care that God tells me not to do it. I need this kind of relationship, I need this kind of thing in my life, I want to make this decision, this is what I want. Every now and then you got to tell yourself no. You know what would happen if you tore a child free in a store and said, get whatever you want? Would they mind how much room is in their bedroom? Nope. Would they mind how much it costs? No. As a matter of fact, most kids have no idea what things cost. 23, is that a lot? 704, is that a big number? I don't know. And they would go, whatever feels good. I've known a lot of kids, you give them that opportunity, they will pack their rooms to where they can't sleep in it. How about this? What if you took a child to the buffet and said, eat whatever you want? How much time do you think they'll spend at the vegetable table compared to the time that they spend over there at the desserts? Now, here's what I want you. I'm not putting down kids. Kids, you're wonderful. We were all like you, and some of us are still like you. My point is this, is that is the nature of your flesh. Stripped of wisdom, time, and experience, that is what your flesh is in the beginning. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Whatever tickles my brain, let me have. And we get all excited about these little things, and we feed into that impulse. And folks, the more you feed into your impulses, instead of sitting there implying some wisdom and God-honoring respect to your decision-making, you're going to make a mess of yourself. You're going to make a mess of yourself. Not everything you want is good for you. I remember being taught that. They're still teaching that. Well, go with how you feel. Well, sometimes I feel like throwing chairs. That can't be good. Sometimes I feel like robbing banks. You know, just typically when I'm passing by a grocery store or a gas station anymore. Just makes you want to stop and take a deep breath and rob a bank or two. You can't go off your feelings. Your feelings aren't right. Just because you want something doesn't make it good for you, doesn't make it true, doesn't even make it honest. There's no merit to it just because you like it. Some people put French fries in their Frosties. I mean, come on. No, don't smile. I don't need to think about that. No. Just because you like it doesn't mean it's good. We need to come to that grip. Well, just this once. Don't lie. I'll start on Monday. No, you won't. How many times have we said that to ourselves on a Sunday morning? Amen, brother. I believe you wholeheartedly. I'm going to make this change. Thank you, Lord, for talking to me. Starting tomorrow. You never make it to the car. I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling the truth. We're all fired up before we leave that door. It's almost like we leave it sitting here like our Bibles. Oh, we'll come back for it. We need to keep ourselves in check. And a huge part of keeping ourselves in check is knowing what God expects of us. This is what he says don't do. This is what he tells me to do. And this is what I'm going to keep myself to. Will you be perfect at it? No, mistakes will happen. Dust yourself off. Get back on the horse. But if we're not paying attention to what God expects of us, if we're not thinking about our actions, only chaos will ensue. And then we'll sit there with the negative, worldly type feelings, the old flesh feelings, the despair, the anxiety, sitting there wondering, well, how come I don't feel the way I think I should? How come I don't feel the way I think I should? You know, a guy goes into his doctor, says, Doc, I just don't feel the way I used to when I was 20. The doctor looks at him and says, well, you got bad knees, you have arthritis in your hands, you've got torn ligaments throughout your shoulders. I don't know if you got ligaments in your shoulders. I'm not a doctor, but you slipped a disc in your back. You've had several concussions. Oh, yeah, and you're 74. Of course, you don't feel like you're 20. What if it was something else? Well, you're several hundred pounds overweight, and you eat sugar like you're drinking water, and you're having all these issues. Of course you don't feel good. Well, Doc, I don't feel good. Well, describe to me your diet. Well, you know those little berries that grow down by the road? I'm eating mostly them. Well, those are poison berries. Of course you feel sick. And yet we leave our spiritual diets. We refuse to do the things that God has asked of us to do. And then we sit there and we go, huh. I guess there's just some problems God can't solve. What a joke. We do everything opposite of what God wants. And then we wonder why their problems come. What silly creatures we've become. We need to keep ourselves in check. We need to be able to tell ourselves no when what we want doesn't parallel what God wants. We see finally Mark 16, verse 15, give the gospel. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, we're not here to luxuriate. I mean, I want you to think about your relationship with God. If you're saved, if you know God loves you, if God loves you the way he loves you, and he wants you to spend time with him, and he wants you to hear what he has to say, why not just bring us to heaven? Because I'm telling you right now, if conditions found that I was in a mansion with servants, with not just one, but many refrigerators filled with food, I could snap my fingers, have anything I wanted. If my mansion was filled with music and just beauty and splendor, and I knew that my kids were living in squalor, they were having a hard time, they were having to work themselves 60 to 80 hours, and their backs were breaking, and they were tearing themselves apart for a life that wasn't doing much for them, what would I as a good father do? I got many houses. Many rooms in my house. Why don't you and your family come? Would I not do that? So why doesn't God do that to you? Because there's something we're supposed to be doing here. We're on assignment. An assignment to do what? To make sure the pews don't float up to the ceilings? On assignment to what? Be examples of how to save for retirement? To vote Republican? What are we here for? For no other purpose than to point others to Christ. So that when he does call us home, all of his go home. Well, do you really think he'd leave any behind? No, but we are the instruments. You see this? I need my notes to preach, right? You following me? There's nothing stopping me from getting them. What do I use to go get them? And folks, you're the body. We're the body. He's the head. We're the body. Get them. Well, Lord, my neighbor, you know, they're having a hard time. They don't have food. They're struggling over there. I sure wish you'd send someone to bless them. Why do you think you live there? Why do you think I got you that house? Why do you think I put you there? Oh, man, there's a lot of people in my life, man. They don't know God. They don't know anything about God. What they need is for someone to teach them. Gee, if only they knew somebody who could show them the way. Could sit there and give their testimony. Coming up in the end of March here, I was asked to go up to Traverse City and preach for the special spring services that they're having up there. And they want me to come and they want me to give my testimony. Somebody asked, are you okay with that? Man, I'm okay with that. I love to tell that story. And you know what? My story is not as cool as other people's stories are, at least not from the world's point of view. But to me, it is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. And if I had to pick which way the Lord would save me, I'd pick that one because that's the one he did. And there had to be something right about it. God, I have no problem going to other people and saying, what are you going through? Oh, I know exactly what you're going through. I'll have conversations with people around here. Well, you know, they'll have issues with drugs. They'll have issues with alcohol. They'll have issues with their past marital things. They'll have issues all over their life. And they'll sit there and say, well, people like me don't go to churches like yours. I go, I beg to differ. I go, I think you get to know some folks, you'll be surprised at who God calls and who God uses. That you're I told somebody one time, you're just God's style. You're exactly the kind of person God deals with. And of course, you and I both know the more, there's only that kind of person. Different sins, different looks, different faces. We're all the same sinner. And we serve a God who loves sinners, who did everything he could to redeem us. That's the love of God. And folks, that is your job. Your job is to talk about the love of God, the forgiveness of God. That's what we're here for. How many times in the last week did you give the gospel? Got some cards in the back. I see, hold on, I'm looking past Charlie. I see the numbers have gone down a little bit. Praise the Lord. But can we explain through our testimony what that card means? Because that's when it's going to come to life. That's what's going to matter. I've talked to a lot of people. I've handed people stuff like that since I was 14 years old, man. Here you go. And you know what a lot of people do with it? That's wonderful. Did I really lose it? It's all right. The cleaners will get it. That's what they do with it, don't they? How many things have you been handed in your life you actually took the time to stop and read? Think about it. We would do that. We would send out emails to advertise our apartments, and my boss thought I was pretty good at it. I'm not bragging to you. I probably didn't do all that good. But I was like, Matt, what do you do to make yours? I go, well, I go through my inbox, and I look at the things that actually make me want to click it and read it. Because I get hundreds of advertisements, same as you, nonsensical stuff that comes in. And I go, if it doesn't make me want to click it, there's something wrong with it. I look at the stuff that I want to click and I go, all right, well, why did I want to look at that? Why did I want to read that? And then I'll sit there, I'll take that same philosophy, and I would put it in mine. You know, I quickly realized that I like things that just told me the truth of stuff right off the bat. Hey, we're having a sale on this. Ooh. I'm in the market for one of those. Click, click. Everybody was looking for clever, funny taglines to make people laugh or make people think or something that was, you know, in the media, something that was current or interesting in the media. And I'd be like, we got this on sale. And they would click on it, and then I could do whatever nonsense I wanted, and I did do some nonsense. Can you take your testimony and use something like that to point others to Christ? Because that's what's going to speak to them. Because they're going to look at that card. They're not going to associate with that card. They might look at you and they'll associate with you because you're real. That is a small piece of cardboard. You are a real person. And when they can look at somebody who dealt with the same things they dealt with and had the same problems that they had and felt the same way that they feel right now, that says something more. That's why I hate these high-pressured, gospel-giving sales tactics that people use. They're not real. It's a game. It's a gimmick. Sit down with somebody. Have a real conversation. How you doing? I am terrified. Why are you terrified? This, that, and the other. I used to be scared like that all the time. But I believe God's taking care of it. Let me tell you why. Because one time in my life, I was just like you. I didn't trust God. I didn't trust Christians. I didn't have anything to do with it. But there came a time in my life when God spoke to me. And everything I've done that He's told me to do has worked out wonderful. And everything that He's promised has come true. And everything He told me to not do, those are the things that beat me up. As long as I'm following after Him, things are going great. And I don't have to be afraid of nothing anymore. Because no matter what it is, I know it's in God's hands. And even if I've got to go through something, I go through it with Him and it's wonderful. That's real. That's a decent conversation. That's honesty. But if we can't do that, we need to learn. Again, this isn't a, well, I don't do it. I don't feel comfortable doing it. So I'm stuck. The comfort comes in realizing that all you're doing is telling them about your relationship with God and who He is. That's all it is. I was a sinner. I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted, and that stuff was tearing me up. And because there's no other definition that makes any sense on how we came to be, but that there was a God who created us and that we failed Him, I believe that He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins, paying my debt. And I have lived free and happy. I've been taught these things that most people scowl at. I went from not trusting God or any Christian to loving God more than I love anything else. We need to tap into our love for God, our love for Jesus Christ. And that'll make you a soul winner. That'll make you one of those people that can't shut up about how good God is. Not like a door-to-door salesman, but as a person who's found freedom, desiring to bring others to it too. Well, brother, what about the whole thing where he's got a list? Do you have it? Do you have the list? If you have the list, well, we got the Google. We'll just go find him. You don't have the list? Well, then we got to do what Mark says, and we got to give it to every creature. Now, that doesn't mean every chimpanzee and every squirrel and every chipmunk. That means to every person. Give it to them all! Give it to them out of love! Not just for them, but for God! Be that light! I was talking to Danielle. Hey, what do you want to do when we go up to Traverse City? He says, I want to go see a lighthouse. You know what I like about lighthouses? Who are lighthouses for? People in boats. But isn't it weird how people on land want to go see them? Doesn't do us any good. We know it's there. It's on the map. I don't have to worry about hitting any rocks because I'm not in the water. I might have to stumble over one, stub my toe, but it ain't going to sink my car. Well, they are Michigan roads. Never mind. The people on the land can see the gospel. Sorry, see the lighthouse. Just as much as the people who need it can see the lighthouse. We shine that light regardless. You're not going to confuse God. You're not going to confuse people. You shine that light every. What do you think the Bible means there by every? Let's go into the Greek. If you look at the Greek, all right, I put my notes over there. But whatever the Greek word for every means, you know what it means in the current English? Every. From the Greek word meaning every. All of them. Without distinction, classification, without any separation, all of them. And that's what we need to do. And I gave you one better. Look in the back of your page. I gave you a list. You got two choices with that list. You want to write down everything you did for the Lord last week? Do that on the top line or the whole line. Maybe we sit there and we write down all the things that we're going to do next week. Another thing that we can do, option number two, is you make a list of the things that I haven't listed yet, because you've already got a list of things on the front. What about on the back page? Have you sent a letter encouraging somebody? Have you prayed with a friend? Maybe it's some menial task here in the church building. What things can I do for the Lord? Again, not from a harassed, I've got to do things because it's my responsibility. The pastor won't stop preaching on it unless I do it. You know, no. It's because I love God. And he says that I can express my gratitude and love towards him through service and obedience, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to obey him. Well, it says obey. Yeah. He's asking you to serve. Obey him. Right? Do this, don't do that. Obedience, right? Serve him. And don't do the things you're not supposed to do. Whatever it is that God asks of us, we should be gladly doing because we love him. Not to impress the church, not to impress the pastor, not to feel like a decent Christian, but because we love him. I love him, so I will hear what he has to say in his book. I love him, so I will talk to him. I trust him, so I will share with him my cares, my concerns,
my frustration.
The doors of his house are open. I'm going inside. I'm going to sing his praises. I'm going to pray with the congregation. We're going to talk to him together. Tell him just how glad we are for the last week we've had. I'm going to keep myself in check so I don't embarrass him, so I don't anger him, so I don't cost more blood than I'm worth. And I'm going to serve him through giving the gospel. And maybe I flip that over and I find ways to be an encouragement, and I find other things that I need to be doing for the Lord, and I write that down. And I hold myself to that list, not because they're chores, but because they're acts of love. And maybe I find the life that I've always been putting off. I asked you to go to the book of Corinthians there with Paul when he said that. I am what I am. But the thing with Paul is he knew what he was, but he wasn't satisfied with being who he was. So what did he do? He went on to say, I worked harder than anybody else. Not because it was me, not to show anything off about me, but to not be a waste of the grace that God has given me and to show him. And it was him that did it through me. That ought to be our desire in what we do. I know what I am. My frailties, my weaknesses, my apathy, my forgetfulness, I know. But through him through me, things can get done, wonderful things, fantastic things, a wonderful relationship. All these things are possible because of him. And I'm not going to waste this grace that he's given me. I'm not going to be a waste of salvation. I'm going to be one of his, and I'm going to act like one of his, and I'm going to show him with everything I got. I love him. Five things Mr. Musk asked the government workers. Five things you did for the government, for the American people in the last week, and they melted down. Oh, that we would be able to say as God's people, but I surrendered all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you gave everything for us. Your Son left the splendors of heaven, the glory of your presence, to put on flesh, just meat like us, to walk our roads, eat our food, to hear our taunts and our jeers, to be rejected by people who needed him. Lord, also that the day would come when you would save us. Father, I pray this, that we would be busy about your work. That, Father, we would be conscious. Father, five things every week, five things every day, it's too little. It's not enough. We'll never repay the debt, but Father, we could tell you every day we love you by our actions. And Lord, help us do that. Father, I pray this. If there's somebody's here that doesn't have that relationship, Lord, that haven't been saved, Lord, I pray you save them. Lord, for those of us that have, I pray you keep us grateful and busy. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.